Welcome to Signs International Ministries. On these programs, you will hear prophetic words, roundtable discussions, preaching, and prophecy news behind the news updates. Now, a message I preached just recently. I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed preaching it.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is So Shall It Be. And we're going to begin with Scripture, Matthew 12, verses 43 through 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Of course, I'm reading out of the King James Version, so the funny ifs in there. But listen, I'd rather have those than all the error in the other versions. Glory to God. Verse 44, Then he saith, Spirit, that unclean spirit, I will return into my house from whence I came. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished, otherwise ready for occupancy. Verse 45, Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's very important. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. So shall it be was the title of the message to this wicked generation that we live in today. Wickedness abounds today, even greater than when the Bible was penned. I won't say written, I'd like to say penned this morning. That word unclean in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, means unclean through both thought and through life. In other words, the way one thinks affects the way his or her life is lived out. We see that today just as it was seen in biblical times. Not very much has really changed except the amount of what's happening. Except the gravity of the deceitful thought and patterns and destructive lives of those who think deceptively. Amen? Hallelujah, because there's deception upon the earth. As it was then, today, it is those who govern whose thought patterns are affecting the way we live. And those patterns that they have are affected by their greed. It's all about money. It's all about control. It's all about position. Listen to me when I say those people are laying the foundation for the appearance of the Antichrist. They are trying to deceive those of us who are waiting for the appearance of the Christ, our Savior and our Lord. The Antichrist will be possessed by an unclean spirit, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, who has walked the dry places seeking rest, but not finding it. And this unclean spirit will possess a man whom the Bible calls the Antichrist. And when that happens, it will be worse than ever before. Matthew 12, 45. Also in Matthew 12, 45, so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now the other spirits spoken of in Matthew 12, 45 are like spirits of the same form and nature. Like-minded in the sense of those in the flesh they possess that will think and act alike. Don't we see that in the world today? How those who govern the world think and act alike? There really is no difference in them. It doesn't matter what government it is. It doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat. I'm going to say it. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who they are or what they are. They have the same mindset, the same satanic mindset, and they think and act alike. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that those hearing my voice will grasp, will comprehend what your Spirit is saying and revealing to them right now, this very moment, as they listen to what I am saying. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, moving on one chapter, verses 36 through 43. Then Jesus said, verse 36 of Matthew chapter 13, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares, now listen to this, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. There, Jesus just said it, Satan. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Verse 40, and therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. The end of the world is mentioned twice, once in verse 39 and once in verse 40. That's significant, I believe, as scriptures are teaching us the importance of this eschatological fact, speaking of a specific period of time that will designate the end of the age or time of times. Is that not awesome? Think about it. God, our Savior and our Lord, had it all in place from the beginning. Matthew 13, verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all the things that offend and them which do iniquity. It's all His kingdom. All of it belongs to Him. Amen. Even the tares are living in His kingdom. Now, does that sound like the end times to you? It sure does to me. I believe the Holy Scriptures are describing today's last days that we're living in right now. It is not yet the last day, but today's days are bringing us closer to that last day. A lot of days there, but I think we can understand all this. When all things that offend the righteousness of God by those that perform iniquity will be dealt with. Verse 42 of Matthew 13, and they shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So shall it be, my friends. Do you have an ear to hear out there? Governments will lie and deceive because they learn that from their evil father. The righteous, however, have learned from our Father in heaven whose truth shines. Amen. Amen. To all who receive it by having an ear to hear and by actually hearing the truth. Those who reject the truth cannot hear, for their preacher of darkness has, I want to use this term, blinded their ears. He hasn't stopped their ears, he's blinded their ears. So they can't hear the truth. It's like you can't see if you're blind. He's blinded their ears and they're not hearing what they ought to hear. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Or how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Did you know, my friends, the explanation of what a tare is? A tare resembles wheat. Now, we all know that. We've all been taught that. But, did you know the grains of a tare are black? They're not golden like a wheat. They're dark. They're black. They're deceptive, in other words. When the Bible uses the word tare, it's speaking of those in darkness who follow Satan in his deceptive and lying ways. So shall it be. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verses 49 through 51. Verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Verse 50, and shall cast them, that's the wicked, into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 51, Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? And I've never seen that one before until just this morning. Have ye understood all these things? And they quickly said, yea, Lord. If Jesus were to ask you, my friends, have ye understood all these things? How would you answer? Now, don't be too quick to say, yea, Lord. Study God's Word. Read the verses in Matthew 12 and 13 over and over. Pray over them as you begin to read and ask God to reveal their truth to you by His Holy Spirit. So then you can stand up and say loud and clearly and in truth, "Yay, Lord!" Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 26. "For the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," Jesus is saying, "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Good scripture. Learn that one. "Because I tell you the truth, my friends, that in these last days the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is our preacher. Beware of any preacher who does not preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But even then, remember, Scripture clearly teaches the mouth of the prophet is subject to that same prophet." That's very important. In other words, if any, yes, I said any preacher, does not keep in tune with God's Spirit, that's what's important for preachers to do. That's why preachers are supposed to be taken care of by love gifts, tithes, and offerings, so they can spend their time filling themselves with the Word of God and getting into the position of hearing from the Holy Ghost, from the Spirit of God, so that when they preach to you, you get an in-the-Spirit message. Glory to God. Amen. See, the Spirit's mouth can speak out of tune with the Holy Spirit of God. He can. That, my friends, is why I urge you to read your Bible, that you might discern who is in tune with the Holy Spirit and who is not. That's very important. Example, when you're singing in church, and all those people are singing around you, you can hear someone near you that's not in tune very easily, because you've learned over your life what's in tune in the music aspect of life and what's not. But have you learned what's in tune concerning the ways and the means and the teachings of the Bible? I wonder. You know they're out of tune, but you need to pray that your preacher, my friends, is in tune with God's Holy Spirit. Don't pray against Him. Pray for Him. Pray with Him. Amen? Just pray that the Holy Spirit will open him up. That's all you have to do. The Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That's if your preacher's listening. Hallelujah. That's if he's in tune. So shall it be, my friends. Without discernment, you too can be deceived. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verses 24 through 33. "For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day." Verse 25 of Luke 17, verse 25, "But first must He suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." Verse 26, Luke 17, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." And what? Destroyed them all. Everybody that wasn't in the ark was destroyed. So I think it's time that we get in the boat. Hallelujah. God's boat. Glory to God. The ark of God was a physical thing in the time of the Bible, but the ark of God today is a spiritual thing. It's a Holy Ghost gift that He gives us that we can enter into that spiritual realm and become that part of God's new ark. Hallelujah. The first ark was that ark of Noah. The second ark was the ark of the covenant. Hallelujah. Third ark, I believe, I know that I'm getting a little beyond scripture here, but I believe it's the presence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Verse 28, Luke 17, "Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it." Verse 29, "But that same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and what? Destroyed them all." Hallelujah. How can you say hallelujah, Brother Johnson? Because God is going to come this one last time. And when Jesus comes to this earth this one last time, He's going to destroy all sin. And I am going to shout hallelujah. If you're not going to shout hallelujah, you're going to be shouting something else. And it's going to be pain and agony. Because He's destroying you. Verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Did you notice I've been repeating that? It's the Bible saying that. I'm not adding that. All these things are going to happen again in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, the day Jesus comes, all these things will precede that. And that's the thing that we all should know, that as it was in the beginning, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. It's very important that we know that those things are happening again, but in greater pressure than ever before. Verse 31, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetops and is stuffed in the house. Now, I never saw that before. Not till this morning. It actually says there, and is stuffed in the house, in verse 31 of Luke 17, King James Version. Let him not come down to take it away. How interesting is that? And he that is in the field, let him likewise not turn back for his stuff. I added that part. But that's what it's saying. His stuff was in the house. The scripture is saying, don't turn back for your stuff. When we go to heaven, we're not going to have no U-Haul trailer behind our vehicle, the vehicle of the rise in the Spirit that we will see at the rapture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember Lot's wife, verse 32? Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. That's very important. Verse 31, and his stuff in the house. I'm telling you, that just gets me. Let him not come down to take it away. Do you hear that? Is your stuff more important to you than your safety? What kind of stuff do you depend on? Do you depend on the stuff of the world? Do you depend on money? You can't serve both God and mammon, which means money. You can't do it. You'll never be able to do it. That's what the government does. That's what those people that are caught in that trap do. They serve mammon. They serve the God of money. Who is that? It's not Jesus Christ. It's Satan. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Is your stuff more important to you than your trip to heaven? That's your safety. See, there is a city of refuge, a final city of refuge, and that's called heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That heavenly place, be it on the New Jerusalem, up there or down here, it's still the same thing. Hallelujah. In the parable of 10 virgins, 5 were wise, and their lamps, now I'm going to say this a little different, were full of discernment. 5 were foolish because they had little discernment. And if you think about it, that adds up. That is so obvious, they simply were not ready. They had no discernment to get ready. If you don't have discernment about the times that we live in right now, you're not going to get ready. You're not going to be ready. When Jesus Christ cracks that western sky, I mean, ain't going to be no sneak attack, folks. I mean, it's going to be loud and clear. Hallelujah. The trumpets will sound. The sky will split open, if you will. The dead in Christ shall rise, and I'm going to be right on their heels. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They aren't going to get far above me. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't have to go get that discernment oil, whatever you want, for my lamp. I've got it already. This is what you need. This is what you'll get if you will hear the words that I'm speaking to you in this message. Now, while the 5 foolish went to get more, the 5 wise entered in to what God had for them. God has it all prepared. He has a place for us. But when they, the 5 foolish, returned, it was too late for them to enter in. God, my friends, had already shut the door of entrance into His eternal plan. For those of you who have been taught that that is always open, you have been deceived. For there will come a time when it closes. The door will shut. The Bible clearly tells us that in the parable of the 5 virgins. Clearly tells us that. Yeah. So shall it be, my friends, the last day. Signs, the end times are upon the earth. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Maranatha.
Did you enjoy that message? I really enjoyed preaching it. Now, would you prayerfully consider helping me get this message out to people all over the world? If so, and God speaks to your heart, please write Signs, S-I-G-N-S, P.O. Box 122, Lyle, spelled L-I-S-L-E, New York, abbreviated NY, 13797 USA. God bless you. Watchman Shofar. You are listening to the prophecy voice of Brother Johnson, God's Watchman.